Welcome to the MFR Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how you can create a six-figure MFR practice. I'm your host, Heather Hommel. Not only have I been practicing MFR for 11 years, I'm also a life and business coach, especially for MFR therapists. My goal is for you to understand how to get fully booked, how to talk to your clients, and how to make sure they understand what's possible for them with MFR treatment. I'm here to help you stop under-earning, overworking, and burning out. I'll lend support so you can create the MFR practice you've always wanted. Learn how you can do it too, even if you live in a tiny town, and even if you're just starting out, and even if you've ran your practice for years. Let's go. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by MFR Brochures. MFR brochures were designed by an expert-level MFR therapist, especially for you, to make it easy to educate your clients and ensure they get the most out of their MFR treatments. MFR brochures showcase an easy way to talk to your clients about the healing crisis, emotions, unwinding, and at-home self-treatment. Order your beautifully designed and simple-to-display MFR brochures today. Go to www.mfrbrochures.com. While you're there, check out the brand new release of MFR banners and make your next event or booth even better with both MFR brochures and MFR banners. www.mfrbrochures.com. Use code MFRPODCAST at checkout to save 10% on your next order. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the MFR Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, as usual, Heather Hommel, the MFR coach. I help you get fully booked and make money so you never burn out or under-earn in your myofascial release practice. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. She's a seasoned SEO strategist for female health and wellness service providers. Laura Jawad helps you call in more clients with the power of your website. Laura, welcome to the program. Do you want to add anything that I missed in your introduction?
Thank you so much, Heather. I'm so excited to be here with you. Maybe the only thing I'll add is that I don't know if it was mentioned in that little intro, but I come to this with a background as a personal trainer and a birth doula. So I have experience as a service provider, and that's what led me to this SEO work.
Awesome. So break it down for us, for people that have no idea what SEO even stands for. Tell us what that is and why it's important.
Yeah. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. And essentially, this is the art of getting Google or other search engines to serve you up at the top of the search results for relevant search queries. So when your potential clients or customers are going to Google and searching for solutions to their problems, you want to be at the top of those search results. And that's what SEO gives you.
Amazing. Okay, so can any person figure out how to do this SEO, or do you need to have a whole bunch of website knowledge? Can the just standard brick and mortar business owner figure these things out?
There is a ton that the standard brick and mortar business owner can do on their own. So like anything, you can get as nerdy as you want with it, right? Like there is a technical side to SEO, but good SEO really rests on three foundations. There's the tech, but then there's also the keywords and content on your page. And there's other websites linking back to you, right? And the tech doesn't matter unless those other two things are in place. And those other two things are things that anyone can do. So if you can solve your patient's problems and you're capable of talking about that, you can create content for your website, right? And if you are capable of doing a little bit of networking, and I bet you are, you're capable of getting some links back to your website. And so these are things that are low tech to zero tech that have huge impacts on your ability to be found on the internet.
Awesome. That's so exciting. So a couple of days ago, if we're just talking in relevance to when this podcast is recorded, Facebook and Instagram went totally down. And I know some of my friends were freaking out because that is how they do their business. That is how they communicate with clients. That's how they basically advertise in an organic way. What are your thoughts about that? And what is your advice for people for if that were to happen in the future and how they can relate that to SEO?
So I think that everyone is going to benefit from diversifying their platforms. If you're a big social media user, yes, obviously it gives you like a layer of insurance or backup if something happens to your socials. But I would argue, even if that weren't the case, if you're only on socials, you're missing out on this huge segment of people that goes to Google to solve their problems, right? So whether or not we're talking about potential social media outages or not, I think diversifying your social media platforms is always going to be smart. Now, SEO, optimizing your website, this is a slower burn strategy relative to social media. So social media, you obviously have this like quick ROI on, you post something and maybe you get a client from that post today or tomorrow. SEO, on the other hand, is a really long-term strategy, right? So it can take 3 to 12 months for your efforts in SEO to vest. And so it's not a bad idea to be doing both of them. But if you're preparing for the next social media outage, start today with your SEO, because the effort you put in today is going to vest over the next year.
And when you're talking about vesting, it's kind of talking about putting money in the stock market, right? Where you're not going to put it in today and take it out tomorrow. You're putting it in today to take it out years from now.
Exactly. I think the stock market is a perfect analogy for this. Mm-hmm. And I would say also that the ROI that we're talking about is going to be increased traffic to your website and increased lead generation from your website. So just to be very specific about what we're talking about with what is vesting.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little more about why it's important for you to get lead generation. Like some of these terms, I think for some people listening in this audience, they haven't really thought about lead generation,
sure.
But it's something that they should be thinking about because it's going to help them long-term, right? Like it's part of the vesting. So do you want to talk about that?
So when we talk about lead generation, these are the people that you are bringing into your business ecosystem for the first time. So maybe these are folks that you're pulling onto your email list or new people that you're bringing into your social media. But these are people who aren't yet clients necessarily, but have expressed interest in your business and have given you an opportunity to continue nurturing them.
I love it. And also, it could be people that you don't even know are watching you, right? Like someone could search for you on Google. And if you pop up and you pop up towards the top or at the top, I mean, people are clicking in that top spot, first of all.
Yep.
And they could be going to your website over and over and over again, trying to figure out a reason to work with you, right? They're searching for you for one thing. And then the second thing is they're just trying to find the right answer on your page in order for them to opt in to work with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So what advice do you have for people that are just starting out in their business? We're talking about people with brick and mortar, myofascial release businesses. What do they need to do in order to have good SEO?
Well, the first thing is obviously to have a website mm-hmm. and to pay for that website.
Okay. So paid website, step one, you guys.
Yeah. So don't use like the free Wix website. Pay for your domain so you have a clean domain like janedoe.com, janedoemyofascialrelease.com, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second is going to be to fill out your Google business profile. This is so important if you want to be showing up in Google search results within like the, what they call like the map pack. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do a search for a local business and you see the map and there's three results there, you can't get displayed if you don't have a Google business profile. So fill that out, fill it out completely, and ask former patients to leave you reviews.
That seems pretty simple.
Yeah. So the thing with local SEO that I love is that there's all these like extras that someone who runs a purely online business doesn't get, right? If you're running a purely online business, you don't get to use Google Business Profile. And it's very powerful. So definitely don't skip setting that up. It's free. It's pretty simple. And it actually, I mean, it works a little bit independently of your website. Like you'll link your website to it. The Google Business Profile is responsible for getting you into that map pack. Your website is responsible for getting you into the organic search results. So it's two different ways to get found in search. With respect to the website, use the blog. Even if you don't think you're a writer, doesn't have to be like world-class, perfect writing, but just start solving problems there. And if you're on social media, and you're solving problems over there, repurpose that content. But you have to create a little bit of a knowledge base on your website so that it provides some context to Google about what you do, and it provides context to people landing on your website about what you do.
I love that. So it's really as simple as you just, most websites give you the option to turn on a blog page, and then you would just, you might even be able to automate having your social media posts go there, or just once a week, upload all of your social media, like graphic and then the captions, and that's just your blog post.
Yeah. And of course, like we can get more nuanced with it. You know, if you want to have like best SEO practices, there's, you can go above and beyond, but like first order solution, repurpose what you're putting on social media. So have a website, pay for the website, use the blog. The other thing is really think about the words that you're using to describe what you do on your homepage, on your services page, on your about page. Think about how your clients are searching for you on Google. When I do an audit for someone, I ask them, like, what words do you think your clients are using to find you on Google? And a good amount of the time, I don't find those words on their website.
Fascinating. Yeah.
It's a really good exercise. Think about, what do you think folks are typing into the search bar that should lead them to you? And then are you using those words on your website? Mm-hmm. Be really clear about what you do. Don't create like cute titles for yourself. Say what you do, because that's how people are searching for it.
I love that. Like, don't make it so complicated. One of the mistakes I see when I do website reviews for my clients is they use medical terms that patients don't use, right? They're searching for back pain or shoulder pain or neck pain or whatever, chronic pain. They're not searching for increased range of motion.
Yeah.
They're not searching for that because they don't know what range of motion means. You know, it's a standard term for us people in the wellness space, but not for typical everyday Mary Janes out there that are just woke up one day and their shoulder isn't working the way they thought it would.
Yeah. You know, if you have intake forms, which I would assume everyone has an intake form since this is like a medical audience.
Yep.
Look at the words people are using to describe their pain points.
Yeah.
That is a very rich source of keywords that you could be using on your website.
I love that.
Those are the problems that are bringing people to you.
Exactly. So smart. Okay, what else? What else should we know?
Well, at the risk of overwhelming people, I want to keep the list like fairly tight. So what do we have so far? We have
a paid website.
You've set up your Google business profile. Mm-hmm. You have
a clean domain.
Yep. You've set up a blog. You're posting something to it. You're paying attention to the words you're using on your website. Let me give you one more, and that'll bring us to five things to keep in mind. And that's probably an achievable number, right? The fifth thing I'll say is when you're uploading photos to your website, upload them, compress them first. So this is one techie thing you have control over. So one of the technical signals that Google looks at with respect to websites is how fast they load, right? Google doesn't want to prioritize a website that takes 15 seconds to load. And to keep your website loading quickly, the thing that you have the most control over is the size of your images. And if you're uploading images straight from a photographer or your phone, they're going to be like megabytes in size. And they're really going to slow down your website. So before you upload a photo, pull it into preview, or if you have like another photo editing app on your computer, and reduce the file size. Try to get it to under 100 kilobytes and upload small files to keep your website light and snappy.
I like that. Keep it light and snappy. So good. Okay. Can you say a little bit more about ranking on Google, or like why you would want to rank number one?
Yeah. So when we talk about ranking number one on Google, the reason you want to rank number one is because you're the first solution being offered. If someone is Googling chronic back pain or chronic back pain specialist near me, you want to be one of the first three that pop up, because statistically, the number of clicks just drops off a cliff after those first three search results. Now, when we talk about like, what does it mean to rank number one? That's a really nuanced question, because I don't know about you, but I get all these emails in my inbox, like spam emails from people in far off places offering to get me ranked number one for hundreds of keywords. And when you think about, you have to think about the words that you want to rank number one for. You want to rank number one for keywords that A, are relevant to your business and are going to bring you traffic that you want. And they have to be words that are not so competitive that you have a chance of ranking for them, but that are also drawing a little bit of traffic. So there's like a sweet spot in terms of like the number of people who search for them every month, and then the relevance to your business. So when you're thinking about like, what are good keywords and what do you want to rank number one for? Those are the things that I want you to keep in mind. I could go get anyone ranked number one for some like obscure, silly phrase, because if no one's searching for it, probably not too many people are trying to compete for that keyword either. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's like a vanity metric. Like, who cares if you're ranking number one for that? It's not actually helpful for you.
Yeah. On my new website. So I launched a new website in November of last year for this SEO business. And when I look at the words that I'm starting to rank for, you know, I'm obviously, this is what I do. It's me very intentional about how I'm cultivating my keyword profile, but you're always going to get spurious keywords. And so, you know, I rank number one right now for Master Jawad Feet. You're always going to get spurious keywords. And okay, I rank number one for Master Jawad Feet. Like, what is that? Why is that an indexed key phrase? Like, I have no idea. But thank goodness I'm also ranked for stuff that actually matters and is going to bring me business, right? And that's being intentional with your keyword usage will do for you. You're always going to get those spurious ones. But if you're not intentional, you're only going to end up with the spurious ones.
Yeah. That's so funny. I'm curious what mine ranks. When we're done with this, I'm going to make you look at mine. So funny.
Yeah, no, I absolutely will. This is what I do, right? Obviously, I get a dopamine hit.
Yeah, that's how I feel about coaching MFR business people. Yeah, it's the same. Okay, so can you tell us, for people that are listening, how do they know if they need help with this, or how do they know if they can just handle this themselves?
Sure. Okay, so I think, one, if you're listening to this conversation and you're like, shoot, I really, really want to get my traffic from my website and this all makes me want to cry, like, I just don't think I can do this myself, you can always ask for help. I offer SEO coaching. Like, you can always find someone who can help you with the full process. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone who's listening and you're like, I really think that I can do these, a lot of these pieces, like, I can handle my content creation, like, I can go acquire backlinks for myself, then start doing those things. And after 6 months, after a year, see how your website is doing. Has your traffic increased? Has your number of inquiries increased? If it hasn't been effective, that might be a great time to go and check in with someone and say, hey, can you give me an audit? Can you give me some input and tell me what I can do next? Or like, why this hasn't been working, right? But if you're starting with like a pretty fresh website or website where you haven't done a lot of content creation or link acquisition yet, those are going to be the first things that someone tells you to do. And so if that feels manageable to you, absolutely go do those things first. And then you'll get so much more value when you actually have someone come in to support you with the next steps, because you've done the low-hanging fruit, or at least you've started to work them into your routines.
Yeah, you've done something. Yeah. So what would be the benefit to someone who opts into one of those rando emails that I'm sure we're all getting that says, let me help you rank in Google, opts into one of those versus hiring someone like you to help?
So I think that anyone who is cold emailing as a marketing strategy to get SEO clients is probably not very good at SEO.
Interesting. Say more.
I would never respond to one of those messages, right? And to me, those folks, I mean, maybe there are a couple of people in there who are talented, but they're not choosing to market to me in a way that makes them like rise to the top at all. And so I look at that and I'm like, why would I want you to advise me on how to get more traffic? Mm-hmm. To me, I think if you want support with SEO, one, find someone who has a website that's doing well on Google. So go to Google, or ask for referrals from people you know who have gotten SEO support. And certainly if you do hire someone who is, you know, maybe less proven, like let's say you decide to respond to one of these emails in your inbox, which I still encourage you not to do, ask for some kind of portfolio, right? That's something that you can actually double check yourself. And that's, you know, that's probably true of anyone that you hire, right? Like they should have like some sort of social proof, some sort of way to demonstrate to you that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's kind of like getting those cold DMs. I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me all the time where like someone DMs me and they're like, Heather, I love what you're doing on social media. Book a call with me. I want to help you get 100,000 followers or whatever in the next 2 weeks. And then like they have zero followers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. And also that would be weird due to the niche that I work in if you happen to even read my bio.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way when I get SEO, like these SEO offers by email. I'm like, did you look at my website?
Yeah. Did you see that I'm an SEO strategist? Yeah. Do you call yourself an SEO strategist? Like, what's the name of your SEO business? Like, what are some of the plans or programs that people could work with you doing?
So the official name of my business is Laura Jawad Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I call myself an SEO strategist or an SEO consultant, which differs from an agency, right? Because I don't write content and I don't acquire the backlinks for you. I help you implement.
Mm-hmm.
So the ways that I support people, I have three main ways that I support people, and I call them do-it-yourself, done-with-you, and done-for-you options. So the do-it-yourself option is where I go and I do like a really deep SEO site review and really dig into your SEO and your online visibility. And then I write a report for you about what's working, what's not working, and what you can improve. And then we get on the call together and we talk through it. And I make sure you're super clear on like the priorities and all the things that you can do to increase the relevant traffic coming to your website.
Okay.
But ultimately you go and you do it yourself. And then the second done with you is that plus 6 months of support. So I call that SEO coaching. And so we have monthly Zoom calls, there's homework, there's access to me in between calls to help with the implementation piece. Mm-hmm. And then the final, the done for you, is the audit. And I have a WordPress website, I'm a WordPress girl. I can go and do some of the like tedious technical stuff behind the scenes for you. So those are really like the three major offers that I have.
Okay, awesome. It's nice to have some choices, everything from you do it yourself to a little bit of help to she does it for you. So that's great. Do you want to talk a little bit about where people can find you and then also the freebie that you said would be available for people?
Yeah, absolutely. So of course, you can find me on my website, which is laurajawadmarketing.com. And if you head over there, I have a pretty robust blog that I am building out with all kinds of tips and tricks that are really curated for health and wellness service providers to help grow your website traffic. So you can check that out. You can also find me on Instagram at Laura Jawad Fitness. Don't let the name fool you. It's mostly SEO strategy at this point. And then finally, I would love to offer you guys a free guide that I've created called SEO Simplified. And it's a keyword research workbook. And so earlier in this conversation, we talked about the importance of using the right words that are going to connect your potential clients with your website and the services you offer. And so this workbook is going to teach you how to identify an effective keyword. It's going to walk you through the brainstorming process. It's going to show you where to put those keywords on your web pages. And it's going to show you which web pages to put which words on, if that makes sense, like how to assign the keywords to pages. And so I'll share that link with Heather so she can put it in the show notes, but it's at laurajawadmarketing.com/SEO-simplified.
Awesome. What a great offer for everybody. I think even if you guys are listening and you're like, oh, I don't know, this seems overwhelming, it wouldn't hurt you to just download that freebie guide and, you know, just page through it and see what you could implement and think about it. Think about these things because the way SEO works, it actually makes it easier for people to find you. At the end of the day, that's all that's happening and it's free.
Yeah. And my goal with this guide is really to show people that SEO is something that they can do. You know, there's always in any marketing strategy, there's going to be that, like I said, like the nerdy stuff that you don't want to get into, but there's also always going to be something that you can do yourself. And this is the thing that you can do yourself.
And if you want to nerd out about it, you can hire someone like Laura that will either do it for you or walk you through it or give you an entire plan so you can do it yourself, which is very, very helpful.
Yep.
So good. Anything else you want to add before we wrap things up?
You can do this, y'all. It's not too hard. It's not too techie. I really think the brick and mortar business is going to benefit from investing a little bit of time into their website and into their Google business profile. And we didn't talk as much about that. Those two things are really what is going to help you make the most of Google.
Awesome. And I think people have heard me before try to drill this idea home for MFR therapists is it's time to really grow up inside your websites. For many of you, you've used the free website that you got through your insurance company or your online professional certificate. And it's time to break up with those, get your own domain, have paid websites, and start really thinking about how you can make it easier for clients to find you. So that's my advice.
100%.
Thank you so much for being here, Laura. You guys can find all of the information on how to find Laura inside the show notes of today's episode. And I will be back next week with more episodes of the MFR Coaches Podcast. Have a great week, y'all. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute and rate and review the podcast. I appreciate it. For more information, please follow me on Facebook and Instagram at The MFR Coach. And check out my website, www.themfrcoach.com, for more information. If you are currently not working 20 hours or less and making six figures in your MFR business, I want to help you change that. Make sure you tune into the show and get on my email list so you never miss out on important trainings and information. To be the first to find out when we are enrolling next for my 12-month Business Foundations coaching program, get on that email list at www.themfrcoach.com/join. Inside this program, you'll learn how to raise your rate, overcome objections, and sell MFR. You'll become the MFR therapist that never under-earns and never burns out. It's up to us to make MFR mainstream, and it starts with you and your successful MFR practice. See you next week.